Wow. Okay. That was a measured reaction.
Maybe for a field goal to trigger.
It was the Oregon fight song, man.
Yeah.
When Washington was playing Oregon.
No, that didn't trigger me.
Okay.
Because I knew Bo was going to do it.
Okay, good. Yeah, you were anticipating.
I already knew Bo was going to do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's smart.
Yeah, I already knew that.
You do a really good job of mentally preparing for things like that.
Yes.
Like you knew it was going to happen, so it happened, and so you're okay.
Yeah, I already knew Bo was going to do that.
Whew. Good. I was worried that glass was going to break.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in here. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm glad. I was like, uh-oh, we're about to be hands in the studio. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Jacob Hester joining the show right now. Always love talking to Jacob. Hadn't had a chance to talk to him since SEC Media Days. Jacob, how are you?
What up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on? Good to talk to you. I appreciate the fight song there, Randolph, because
let's get it twisted, all right? You're the only person on this planet that can call me that, all right? And you know we have that kind of relationship, all right? And I didn't do that. Our producer, Bo, who is from New Orleans, who is the biggest LSU, he has LSU stuff on right now, played that. And I knew he was going to do that because you were coming on. Now, I need to know something because we're trying to get this because you're from the same area that he's from, all right? Do you still eat squirrel?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, never mind. That debunked my whole thing that you done got citified. So, okay. All right, well.
Hey, listen. About the fight song, your listeners probably know this. You made me sing the Georgia fight song in front of the entire San Diego Chargers special teams unit there because y'all beat us. I forget which year that was.
I think
it was the year that it was No'Shawn and them going up and down the field. So I know the Georgia fight song
actually.
Yeah. When's the last time you ate a squirrel? I can't let that go without a follow-up.
It's been a minute. I will say that. Okay. It's been over a decade, if that makes you feel better.
Oh, it does. It does.
But I don't care one way or the other. I would try a squirrel if it was prepared for me. I just have never had the opportunity. Maybe Bo will let us have that at some point. So the last time we chatted was at SEC Media Day. Obviously, everything's new. Brian Kelly, expectation. We talked about all that. Where does what has actually happened this season compare with what you really reasonably expected?
Well, I think they're way ahead of schedule. I mean, we were at SEC Media Day, like you mentioned, and they were picked anywhere from 5, 6, or 7 in the West. I mean, so no one had them in Atlanta, certainly. And even if you had your purple and gold glasses on, you're probably thinking 8-4. Now, if you could get to 9-3, that would be probably what your ceiling was going to be. But, like, even the most optimistic fan had this team, you know, 6-7 wins because you were starting over. Even though you were bringing in Brian Kelly, I mean, y'all saw the bowl game against Kansas State. There was 38 scholarship players there, and you lost players through the portal, and then you're trying to play catch-up in a recruiting class. But they did a really nice job of identifying players in the transfer portal that had ties to the state of Louisiana, guys that had started games at Arkansas, guys that had started games and were all-conference at Oklahoma State, and they kind of pieced this thing together. I don't want to say patchwork because I think it's been better than that, but that was the initial thought. Let's get some guys in here where we can compete. We can maybe upset a couple of teams. But it all kind of came together, I think, really quick and surprised a lot of people. And so this team, I think, you know, last week obviously was a very tough loss. If you win that game and then, like, you know, everything else is lanyap after that point because, you know, you got 10 wins in the regular season. That's, you know, that's hard to do. And I know – that a lot of programs kind of expect that. I think LSU's done it maybe 10 or 11 times as far as regular season 10 wins. Ole Miss just got their first last year. So it's not something that's very easy to do. And LSU was a win away from doing that. So they're way ahead of schedule. But look, at the end of the day, it's also LSU. It's not Little Sisters of the Poor. Like, it's LSU. You have high expectations. This was going to be the one year that I think fans were going to allow for them to grow. And so now that they're ahead of schedule, people are like, okay, national championship next year because that's what kind of place LSU is. And it actually should be.
Hey, Jacob, as you know, I mean, whenever you're part of a coach getting fired, there's a lot of turnover and everything. What was the biggest thing that Brian Kelly did? Was it a hire? Well, I mean, obviously we make fun of him at Professors, but what was it, the hire, getting a player there? What was it that helped this team kind of not fall off the rails like a lot of teams could when there's a new coach aboard?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, he made some really good hires. I love Matt House as a defensive coordinator. I'm not sure how long you're going to be able to keep him because I know he wants to be a head coach, and I think he might have an opportunity. If it's not this year, it's probably next year. But he's been fantastic. I mean, he has really come up with some game plans that have giving LSU an opportunity in some of these games. Maybe they don't have the same type of Jimmys and Joes that those teams have, but they've come out on top because of the game planning. And so that's a big hire. Jaden Daniels comes, and he takes over the quarterback job. So that's a big move, obviously, coming over from Arizona State. But honestly, I think it's the traits. I think it's the structure. I think it's everything that Brian Kelly brought to this program, and a program that quickly after 2019 got out of sorts. It was kind of all over the place. It was on that bender for 2 years after 2019, and Brian Kelly really fixed it. I mean, he brought structure, stability, all those cliches, but they're true. They're factual. And so that helped. I mean, that certainly helped. He changed the culture from day one. I mean, they worked out a different way. They ate a different way. You know, academics was you know, laid out in a different way, everything from top to bottom. And so I think you expect that with Brian Kelly. That's why you pay him the salary that you do, and it's combined with the right moves. I mentioned the transfer portal guys, you know, them playing in the state of Louisiana. It meant something to them, and so they have a passion for the state. And so you got the best out of those guys, Greg Brooks, Joe Fouché, Bernard Converse. And so I think with a lot of buttons having to be pushed, he almost pushed every single button the right way.
Let's talk about what needs to take place on Saturday in order for LSU to potentially win the game. I think people know about Harold Perkins. I think the casual SEC fan knows about him, as great of a year as he's had. Outside of him, if LSU is going to win, like if they're really going to compete and win this game on Saturday, who's got to be great?
Well, they've got to play free. That's the one thing, and certainly on offense. And so I could give you like individual names, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it's the entire offensive unit. You have to go out there and not be afraid to make a mistake. You have to go out there and know that you have a talented receiver room. And so play a little reckless. And I mean that as far as if it's one-on-one and normally you wouldn't throw it up, give your guy a chance, because that's when this LSU offense has been at its best. They've played free a couple of different halves, second half against Mississippi State, second half against Ole Miss, second half against Auburn. For the full game against Alabama, first, second, third, fourth, and overtime, they played free. And it was the best game plan. It was the best that they've looked, because Jaden Daniels trusted his offensive line. He trusted his receivers. He trusted the running backs. He trusted the tight end. And everybody else trusted Jaden Daniels. And that was a different unit that day, because they put together some really solid halves. Florida, second half, really solid. But Alabama, you hit every cylinder. It is you have the capability to do so. And when Jaden's got in trouble, it's been because he hasn't necessarily trusted maybe to make a throw in tight coverage. And you can't be too careful with the football against this Georgia team. So for me, if you want to be successful, know you have Kayshon Booty. Know you have Malik Nabers. Know you have Brian Thomas Jr., Mason Taylor at the tight end position. I know Georgia's got plenty of Jimmys and Joes, but you also have some of those. I mean, you have some highly recruited 4 or 5-star guys that are Sunday players. And so if you have one-on-one matchup, I know Ringo's a stud, but hey, test them. See if they can cover your receivers. Because in my opinion, if LSU plays tight, it's going to be out of hand extremely fast in this game.
How is Jaden? Because I saw last week against, A&M. Thank you, Andy. That he got a little beat up. He got a little knocked around a little bit. Is he going to be 100% for this game, Jake?
I don't know if he'll be 100%, but I know that he's definitely going to give everything he can. It's one of those situations, and you know this, Randy. I mean, SEC championship game, you're going to do some things that maybe you didn't think you could do. I think early in the week there was reports that he was in a walking boot, and it was a precaution to try to make sure he tried to heal whatever lower injury he did have there. He did get beat up a little bit at the end of that Texas A&M game, and that's something to watch. If he can't go as far as he's 100% as far as the full throttle speed and the obviously what he can do for you in the quarterback run game, then that's going to be a huge advantage for Georgia. So the health of him, that's something to definitely watch in warmups. You know, is he spatted up? What does that ankle look like? Is he limping? Is he running with a concrete foot? You know, all those things that we kind of look for in pregame warmup, because you need the best version of Jaden Daniels in this contest against Georgia. I think that goes without saying.
How far are you willing to go in terms of, I don't know, hyperbole, but just in terms of praise and describing what's happening at Georgia right now?
Oh, I mean, and look, Randy knows this. I am a gigantic Kirby Smart fan. He was a coach of mine when I was at LSU. I was playing defense when I first got there, and I got a chance to see a young Kirby really thrive. I was like, man, this guy is going to be an absolute stud, and he is. And I respect him so much. Todd Monken, he was at LSU when I was there. I respect Coach Monken so much. And so I know how those guys work. I know what they do day in and day out. And so I respect the hell out of the Georgia football program. I truly do. It's a bunch of hardworking guys with a bunch of grit. And the best thing I can say about Georgia, they're the ultimate team. And I hope this doesn't sound like it's disrespectful, because I mean it as the biggest compliment that I can give you. But if you went around to the other 13 cities in the SEC and you said, roll off 10 Georgia players right now, just roll them off the tongue.
Yep.
I don't know that any casual fan could do so. And we're talking about the defending national champ, the number one team in the country. But because they play as such a team unit, they don't care who gets the credit. Fans would struggle to do that, because it's next man up. It's 3-4 running backs. It's three tight ends. It is, you know, guys on the defensive end. Edge rusher goes out for the year. That's fine. Guy steps up. That, to me, is the biggest quality that you can have about your team. And our 2007 team that won the national championship at LSU, we had a little bit of that as well. We didn't necessarily have the stars. We lost four first-round picks from the 06 team coming into the 07 team. And that's the way that we played. And this Georgia team plays like that on steroids. And so, man, it's from somebody that watches from afar, it's highly impressive what they've built there.
As always, great stuff.
Appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely. Anytime. Randy, I wish I could say I'd see you at the game, but I already know you're going to be in Club McMichael watching it in the basement. So, unfortunately, I won't get a chance to see you, but it's always a pleasure catching up with you.
You know it, brother. You know it, my man.
Jacob Hester there. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at JacobHester18. Yeah,
he knows me well.
Oh, yeah, he knows. He knows. See you? No, you won't. Not unless you drive up 85 to Lilburn.
Yeah, but you know what? The greatest thing is that, you know, the as good as George has been these last few years, the texts and the calls have been lesser and lesser. Hey, bro, you coming?
Oh.
They've been getting lesser. Every year, they've got lesser and lesser. I only got one so far this year. About this weekend.
About this weekend?
Yeah.
Really?
But it's getting lesser and lesser.
Who doesn't know yet?
I mean, yeah, you know.
See you Saturday?
Yeah, it's getting lesser and lesser, dog.
No, you will not.